Welcome to Beyond Rent, the property management podcast brought to you by Rent Manager. Each episode, we sit down with an expert to talk industry updates, tech solutions, and top tips for those in the property management space. And now, let's get to the conversation and go Beyond Rent.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond Rent. Today we are talking about the power of reserve studies. And joining me is Aaron from North Star Reserves. Aaron, welcome to Beyond Rent.
Joe, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for taking time to talk to us about reserve studies. This is really kind of a relatively new topic for me, and it might be for our audience as well. So I'm excited to kind of dig in and learn more. But before we do that, let's make sure people know who you are. Aaron, go ahead and introduce yourself and let us know what you're all about.
Yeah, Joe, appreciate that. We're North Star Reserves. We do reserve studies in the Midwest and West Coast states. There's some states are regulated in regards to reserve studies. I'll get into that in a minute. We do consulting in multiple states where homeowners association and businesses, high rises, condos, property managers, they kind of have a do-it-yourself version. We kind of guide them through the process because it can be a lot to digest. We do specific planning for homeowners associations and condos and high rises, as I mentioned, where the planning is based on a financial outlay of all of the community or the business's physical assets. So their buildings and their pools, their interior spaces, and right down to, you know, the carpet and the construction and so forth. And we build an outlay for maintenance and replacement of all those physical assets.
Sounds like a lot of work that you have to do there. And we'll get into kind of what that looks like on that reserve study. How did you end up doing this type of work? Did you enter in to the real estate market in a certain, direction that kind of got you into the role to do these reserve studies?
You know, I probably have a pretty, typical college story. I came out of college with a degree in family and marriage counseling, if you can believe that. And I just always loved people. And so I've always interacted with people. The industry was going in a way that I didn't want to. And my next kind of passion, aside from just people in general, was construction. So I ended up working for one of the large three builders. It was the third largest in the nation. And, you know, we managed multi-million dollar budgets with them and bought materials. And long story short, I was, you know, eventually general manager of a large custom home builder covering the whole of a state. And really I wanted to do something back with people. I wanted to kind of do something and serve people on a more personal level. So I started my own business. And I initially started that business in HOA management, grew an HOA management company over two states. And that was actually quite a lot of fun, you know, with its own, you know, set of problems and, you know, really got in thick of how to serve, you know, the clientels, the homeowners associations, the communities in general as a property manager. And I was buying, you know, with my background in psychology and my love of people, I was interacting with people, you know, dawn to dusk. And then now with my new education, kind of, you know, real roots and street level education of HOA management, I found myself needing a plan to really help these communities plan for the long term. So as I was about to mention, I was buying reserve studies from these other companies out of state. And we were planning these studies and I kind of dove in and really would take the lead and guide them through it. And actually one of these companies approached me and it was a couple that was retiring and they said, "We're thinking about retiring and don't know if you know of anybody who wants to buy or kind of grow a business." And I immediately knew that was me. It was a perfect marriage between, you know, my ability to serve the community, my newfound education in HOA management, so to speak, and then my construction background. And so I bought that company. We've since grown it over multiple states, and we have multiple tiers of service that I'm sure we'll get into here in a minute. But that's allowed me to really serve the community, really kind of a deeper level with long-term planning, understanding the market and seeing their physical buildings from a construction eye, while at the same time allowing, my love of people to guide those conversations and consult with them through the process of putting those numbers into practice.
Yeah. And I love how you started back with kind of that college experience. And I do think a lot of people have that same experience, right? You go to college and you get this great education and you get out and you kind of just decide that maybe your life has different plans and you want to take things a different direction. But it sounds like you're kind of like the master of pivoting, right? You've kind of taken different opportunities through your life and just pivoted just a little bit, or maybe in large ways, to kind of get you to where you are today, and knowing when those opportunities arise and when to take advantage of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never thought of it like that. Of course, all of us, I think, to some degree avoid, pain points, but we end up going through it. And I've always been kind of a yes man. And that's led me into some, some pretty challenging circumstances. And I'll admit readily, it's led me into a lot of mistakes too, but I've learned from those. And so I have a tendency to charge forward and dive in. I like to dive in deep. And that's what the reserve study is. It is a deep dive into the long-term planning and guidance of an association or a business, or even a city municipality, but a deep dive using the actual math, using the numbers, and letting that math lead. I remember when I first got into this industry, I kind of did that deep dive. I'm on the pivot. I'm trying to learn, trying to figure out, how can I best serve and provide the highest level of service? So I got into reading. I read a lot. So I was reading stories all across the nation of issues or problems. And I found one back east of a city that had taken on the responsibilities of a very large cemetery, of all things. The cemetery had gone bankrupt. They folded. And guess who gets to take the ownership of that? Well, the city takes the ownership of this huge maintenance park, and future burial plots. And so the city didn't want it. And of course, that problem then falls back to their constituency, the taxpayers. And I dove into that. Like, that was a very preventable problem. And the reserve study is really the solution to those problems across the board, right? If you have a proper plan, then you get to avoid any sort of surprises. You can pad it for that type of avoidance. You can even avoid the type of market, the type of pain that comes from a market that we've had over the last 18, 24 months with some of this inflation. And so that's what I've done. That's what we've done. We've built a plan that businesses and associations can pivot with that. And some states have gotten so savvy that they regulate it. They come along and they say, hey, you have to get a reserve study done every 3 years. And there's other states like Idaho that don't. And they lean associations into it, but they don't, formally regulate it. It's just a good fiscal process, right?
Yeah, and talking about deep dive, and I think that story is really interesting in how, again, the city kind of had to take on this large problem. And obviously the taxpayers are always the one that kind of suffer for situations like that. But talking about like that deep dive, let's do the deep dive on a reserve study. Give us kind of that deep picture, that understanding of what's in a reserve study, what it consists of, and kind of how you build one of those out.
Yeah, you bet. So I like to break down a reserve study into three pieces. And obviously it's more complex than that, but if we were going to break it down into three pieces, I would call it the financial piece, the site inspection piece, and then the report. And the way we'll look at a property of any sort, whether it be a strip mall or an airport or whether it be an association. I mean, we even do associations with very few assets. They just have parks and pumps for, maybe a pond system, and the reserve study applies there. So what we typically do is, we gather up the financials. So we ask for, current financials and running financials, and then we vet those out to help extrapolate and separate out their operating versus reserve budget items. So when they're done, they have these two very functional and interactive budgets, operating and reserves. And they have different purposes. They're very exclusive. They're now very intentional, and they're not intermingled and mixed up. The financials, the actual finances might be, they might be intermingled into one account, but the actual accounting of it is not. When we're done. So we help them strip out those finances. We look at those reports separately. And then we do, it's kind of at the same time, we're doing a site inspection. And that's where we physically step foot on site And we will look at all of their physical assets, from, like I said, the roof to, you know, the inside carpets and the pool and the pool plaster. We break it down right down to the pumps and the various pieces that, you know, make up whatever entity we're working on here. And one thing that I've noticed is there's really two ways to look at that site inspection. Most of the industry has a tendency to look at it from an accounting standpoint. And as I mentioned earlier, I came right out of college working in the construction industry, and I built communities just like the ones that we now inspect. And so I look at this from a construction standpoint. I know the inner workings of these buildings. We know, you know, from the base of the road base that builds up, that the asphalt's built on and so forth. So we tend to look at the construction piece and really how to maintain that long term. And we'll break down these components based on our actual findings in those site inspection. On the site inspection, we'll break down those components on the needs. Now, a couple of pieces to that site inspection, we take into account, you know, weathering, the condition of what, you know, the condition of the material or asset that we're inspecting, the climate zone that we're in. There's a number of components or pieces that go into breaking that site inspection into great detail. And that would kind of complete the second phase, if you will, of the reserve study. And then the third phase is, in my opinion, almost one of the hardest, because now we've got to convert that physical site inspection, tie it to those financials, and produce a report that's readable and digestible. And sometimes these reports are 100 pages. And I think if there's one thing the industry overall could do a little bit better, it's handhold the client and take them through that report. Sometimes it's kind of a one and done. It's just kind of a delivery mechanism. Here's the report. And I see boards and, you know, business people getting caught up. Even, I mean, I've worked with a lot of CFOs too. They even get caught up in the girth of these reports. But once you take them through it and really digest how this report flows, how the report, you know, reads, it's very digestible, very usable. And then it becomes really powerful because now they can make decisions, future decisions and current decisions based on math and instead of guessing. And it's more proactive instead of reactionary. So many of the communities and businesses that call us there, they know they're calling us because they're being reactive to some issue or problem. And they're calling for us to solve that reactivity and make it a proactive process. So that's how I've broken it down. We break it down to kind of this financial piece of site inspection. And then third is the report building, and the handoff to that is critical. A handoff with some consulting that we explain. We do ongoing consulting. As a side note, you know, over the years, we've tried to improve not just processes all the time, but the quality of the different tiers of services we offer. So we do what I just described as a full site inspection, right? Hands-on from start to finish. And then we've had what we call this certain clientele that has a tendency to want to be maybe more integral. They want to do part of it. You know, a great example is we do a lot of 55 plus and older communities where you have retirees, they want to run point. And we are kind of in the middle of doing a full site inspection or a full study and consulting. And so we do what we call a virtual site inspection. We virtually, with online tools from Google Earth to Street View Images, we will walk through the whole of the community. They provide pictures, we provide consulting, we generally and usually build the report and then hand off to one point member in the community that then hands off to the rest of the board and or community. So that's been a piece of that. That usually saves them quite a bit of money in the process of that because we don't have to physically mobilize to be on site, but they still get the full study and the full value of that study. And then we have some other things that we do too, you know, consulting, and then we've done, you know, we've helped other communities and C-level employees and executives build their own studies, and we're just kind of behind the scenes as an auditor or consultant as they kind of have their own DIY study or version on their end. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. And the real value, in my opinion, is making sure that number one, it's thorough from start to finish. And number two, that it's tailored to the community. And that's the beauty of the reserve study is no study is like another. If it's ever boilerplate, something went wrong, in my opinion. It really ought to be tailored to the community, tailored to the building, tailored to how they're going to use it. And that takes, you know, an element of interacting with the people and not just the numbers.
Yeah. Thanks for breaking that all the way down, because I think that's really kind of the essence of what we're trying to get at here, is like, what are these? What are the value, and understanding those three elements, how they interact together, but also how you're interacting with the community or the property owner, the property management company, is really kind of the critical piece. And I loved how you talked about how each report is different and how that's truly the value, because you talked about going all the way down to, like, you know, very specific elements of the property. You know, obviously those are going to be very different. And I didn't even think about the idea of, like, different climates, because HVAC in a, you know, northern climate, I guess the heater element of that is going to work a lot harder than one in a southern climate. So it's going to age out faster, right? Is that the type of thing that you're taking into consideration?
Yeah. In fact, you know, another great example, you're exactly right. Another great example is trees. I never considered before I got in this industry that, I mean, we'll just move city to city and the tree structures and the type of trees installed changes dramatically. And I'll even take that one step further. You know, sometimes we have developers come in and, you know, a beautiful community has trees, so they just go kind of tree happy. And sometimes these trees are not appropriate to the location of either the building or the sidewalks. And so I'll tell you, Joe, I've learned more about trees than I ever thought I had. Their root structure, how they crawl, how they dig deep, you know, how they're going to grow, because those trees, you know, in a lot of communities have they come with a heavy expense. Sometimes they tear up sidewalks and roadways and walkways and driveways. Sometimes they are too close to the buildings. They certainly always need to be kind of canopied and skirted, or they need to be maintained long-term, both for beautification and longevity, but also for safety. And so, you know, trees has been one of those things that's a great example that it also changes, you know, climate zone to climate zone. And even within the same climate zone, you climb, you know, 3,000-4,000 feet, and the tree structure and the tree design is generally very different than that in the valley. So that's been, you know, you know, fascinating to, you know, kind of tailor something that I hadn't really anticipated, but, you know, everybody loves trees, so nobody ever minds talking about them.
Well, no, that is really interesting. And I have to believe that regardless of the type of client that you're interacting with, that they're quite often probably surprised by these reports that you provide back to them. They probably think they understand their property, think they understand their assets, and then you probably come back and paint probably a slightly different picture than maybe what they had thought when they had went into this process.
We've had, I can't even tell you how many, quote, you know, very small HOAs have called and said, you know, and it's often a property manager, hey, look, the board's interested in doing a reserve study. They only have like 5 or 6 assets, but it's a pump and a pump house, and that's about it. They have this one pond, you know, and there's really just a couple of things, but they'd like you to do it. And then once I dive in, they have 30 to 35 assets, because I look at everything. Suddenly they had forgotten that they have benches kind of sporadically throughout. They forgot that they own sidewalks and these parks, and they have pet stations and fencing. And all of a sudden there's just, you know, a couple of dozen components. And even just as often I have property managers who are surprised. I forgot about that. That's right. And then, of course, I look at the pump house, and we break down the pump house into 5 components itself, between the components, the equipment, and, you know, and the housing of the pump house itself. So, there's always a bit of, you know, surprise, which is why I think the back end kind of handoff, is important. In some cases, what we've also done is we do, you know, kind of a 5-part video tutorial. So sometimes these studies are so big and so massive, and the community is sometimes in the flux. We'll do it we're doing a couple developers right now where the community is literally in the build stages right now. They're in phase 3 of 5. And we're building it based on plans, and so that they know how to structure a dues structure for this property moving forward. And as we're building this study via plans and a partial site inspection, because it's not a completed study, they're going to build out their dues, and they're making some assumptions on those future dues. And they're also making some assumptions on, you know, inflation and those future assets, how to maintain those future assets. And what we do is we build a 5-part video tutorial series that we're going to walk them through the whole of their finished study with a 5-part video. And it'll take them through the whole study. Each video is 5 to 7 minutes and it hits the key bullet points. And that developer is going to hand that right off to the board. So the board goes in with the confidence that the developers done their homework and that they're on top of it, that these aren't made up numbers. They're really great, designed by a third party. They walk in with a 5-part video tutorial series that they now have a very base understanding of how to use and manage through the reserve study. And they have a connection point with me where they can call for additional consulting and aid in understanding that report long term as the developers, you know, handing it off. So it really creates these good, safe processes so that we don't get caught with assets that are, you know, deferred and unmaintained, right?
Well, and that's really the goal, right? Is the long term health of the business, of the property. And I know you've mentioned kind of developers or HOAs. When you look at kind of reserve studies overall, what are, I guess, the typical or the common types of properties that either need because of regulation or desire reserve studies, or maybe even further to expand that really could benefit from reserve studies?
You know, it's a great question. I don't generally like painting such a broad brush, but I'm going to do that right here. The truth of it is that any business or association, any municipality that has physical assets that they need to maintain or replace should, at the very least, have a long-term plan for how much to set aside to maintain that. And that's what a reserve study is. Reserves is just another name for savings. It's just a savings study. How much do we need to reserve on an annual basis to maintain these assets? And then it goes into much, you know, greater detail. Well, how often are we going to maintain it? How much is this carpet used in this hallway? We're going to replace this carpet every 12 years, but over on this section of the building, which is hardly ever used, maybe it's only every, 15 or so years. And so it's really tailored to the community, and any community or business or association that has physical assets. So the ones that are a little bit more critical now, you know, painting kind of a, you know, not such a broad stroke, a little bit more critical are condos, high rises, any community that has, you know, constituents and or taxpayers that kind of pay into that, any buildings that, you know, stand tall and otherwise create a risk issue, you know, and that's nothing new, although this condo in Florida, of course, you've probably heard about that. This condo in Florida that fell, you know, has brought a lot of awareness in the worst kind of way. I mean, nobody wants this way to be the way to learn about reserve studies. But this condo in Florida, you know, they had a pool sitting on an upper deck over, you know, kind of a parking structure in the condo. High rise was next to that. And over time, these pool chemicals are always damaging, even to concrete and steel. I mean, over time, they just wear it out and tear it down. And that's what happened. And they didn't have the reserve funds necessary. So they kind of deferred. And this structure, this pool structure and parking structure gave way and brought a couple of columns with it. And the upper floors went with it and people died. I mean, it's the worst scenario really that you can think of. And the reason it's so bad, it's so preventable. Proper, you know, a proper plan prevents these kind of, you know, poor planning. You know, it's that old adage, prior proper planning prevents poor performance. And that's, you know, that's what happened here. So that's all very preventable. Most of the communities or most of the business that we do, I'd say, you know, as much as 50% of the business that we do is homeowners associations that, you know, are more of a sprawl. And then we've probably got about 30% in high rises and condos and apartment complexes. And then, you know, and I'm guessing a little bit in these figures, maybe another 20% in golf courses. And, you know, we've done some dental offices. We've done some small municipalities, airports, sewer treatment facilities are a big deal because you get these neat little properties that are outside of town a little bit. They're not tied to city, so they have their own sewer treatment. But now they have a lot of assets that the homeowners have to work through and maintain. And that's a very specific type of assets that has to be done just right and has to be maintained. Or you have sewer treatment problems, which is, you know, a health and safety issue far beyond just a dilapidated road, right? And so, you know, it's quite a broad range, but anywhere where there's a physical building that they have to maintain, you know, we do it. The only thing I haven't really done is just the individual homeowners. We certainly can, but we haven't done, you know, houses. We're doing mostly projects and where there's multiple owners that have some sort of onus to that, or business owners who care about, you know, setting aside a proper intentional amount for maintaining that business asset like a golf course.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually going to ask that. Like, I'd imagine any person that owns a home could benefit from one of these studies to know how much they should be saving to maintain their home. But I really like how you kind of took that and again, the very unfortunate situation there in Florida. But you also talked about like the sewage treatment plants, how, well, yes, this is to maintain the health and the condition of a property, of an asset long term. There are real safety and health concerns that are tied into these if things aren't done appropriately. And while people may have the best intentions, if there isn't the right amount of savings, the right amount of reserves, that deferred maintenance will eventually catch up with them.
Yes, and it does. And it's, you know, it really is kind of the, you know, the piper's always paid. At some point, the building and asset that people buy into, and again, whether it's a business that they're buying into, that they appreciate the services, or whether it's a homeowners association or municipality with, you know, with taxpayers that have a physical asset that they care about, like a park, eventually somebody wants it maintained. Eventually, if not maintained, and if the funds aren't there, value is lost. Right, either in the business or in the property values. And that's really kind of the purpose of, you know, an HOA, for example, is to maintain and increase the property values that the HOA is standing or which the property values that they're standing on within that HOA. And if you don't have the funds to maintain it, ultimately it hurts, you know, perceived property values. You know, if the roads aren't maintained and they're, we've all driven through those roads where we think, oh my goodness, you know, why can't they fix these roads? Right. And that's preventable stuff. And there are other things that make this a little bit more, you know, challenging. This last 18 to 24 months has been particularly challenging, for our clients, you know, and so we've had lots of follow-up conversations. We've done lots of what we call financial updates, where we've taken a study that we did in 2018 or 2019 with a full study and physical inspection. And then they do a financial update where we're not physically on site again. All we're doing, it's really inexpensive to do. All we're doing is going back and we're updating their inflationary rate. We're looking at the geopolitical supply chain issues that occur and drive pricing up. We're tracking that inflation. We're updating the current pricing of physical, you know, services in their area. So we call vendors in their local areas to ensure that we're getting the right pricing in that area. We're looking at what's occurred. We had a pretty, in Idaho, we had a pretty heavy winter this year, and we know we're already updating some pieces. There's going to be some additional challenges that come with the freeze-thaw cycles. So, you know, doing these updates keeps these things top of mind. It helps them adjust and pivot both pricing and inflation. And then in those conversations that we had just in the last, you know, just this year so far, we've had, I can't tell you how many conversations where the landscapers, again, having increased their prices last year, just using landscapers as an example, are increasing or planting the seed for increasing their pricing again this year. And those can be significant costs. And if there's not a reserve budget and a plan, if there's not, and even some padding planned out, then it catches everybody off guard and suddenly, you know, you have a poor board or even worse, a property manager who has to go back to the community with their handout and say, well, we have to raise. Dude, you have to surprise everybody. And nobody likes that. And it's just pitchfork and torches. And, you know, you have to upset people. A very preventable problem.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, it's all about planning for the future. So if somebody's listening to this and they kind of, you've piqued their interest and maybe they've never done a reserve study on one of their properties or any other properties, what are kind of the right next steps, like things that they should be thinking about or things they should be doing if they're going to try to find somebody to work with to conduct a reserve study?
Mm-hmm. You know, I, I am a firm believer that information is generally free, and nowadays, and if it's not free, it's really cheap. And, you know, I think the next step, the first thing to do is call your local reserve study provider, or, you know, call Northstar. I mean, we do consulting all day long. In fact, it's where I spend most of my time, is having conversations with people, just consulting with them and giving them ideas and vetting out different problems to solve. And so I would suggest that, you know, that they go look up reserve studies, understand what a reserve study is, like we've talked about here, understand a general idea of what their assets are, and then, you know, call us, call and find out. We'll talk to you. There's no cost nowadays to get a at least a superficial education on what a reserve study would do for the long-term planning. So, you know, I think information's free, and it should be free. And what information might cost is usually pretty cheap. And it's the service ultimately that will provide this kind of long-term planning. So the next step would be, you know, give us a call. You go to northstarreserves.com. It's just all spelled out, northstarreserves.com. You can go to our Facebook page, which is the same, just facebook.com/northstarreserves. And again, we certainly would recommend just finding out a little information, make the call, do a little homework. If, you know, if your listeners, Joe, have physical assets, then it's worth a little bit of time to make sure that those assets have the funding needed. At the end of the day, the reserve study provides at its heart a funding model, and it's not guesswork. It is solid math. And so let the math do the talking. You know, mitigate so much liability. So start there, find somebody who can, you know, do the math, somebody who can service you locally, and then empower that math and empower yourself with it.
No, that's great. And I know we talked previous to recording this episode, and some of the comments that you've made throughout the podcast, this episode, you know, really kind of resonate with me. And I think all the time about the value of being in this industry. And while there's all types of different portions of our industry and property management, HOAs, and multifamily, and all types of different places, whether it's for a business or for somewhere for someone to live, it all comes back to the people, right? And I feel in all of your messaging is if we can do a good job planning for the future and using a reserve study, we get to provide better places for people to live and work and have homes, right? And I think that's such an impactful thing that we get to do is really set these people up for success, whoever they might be. Again, residents or business owners, it doesn't really matter. All of these people need a good place that is in good repair to have full lives. And I can hear that in your message. And I think when we're reminded of that and we're empowered with the right tools and, like you said, the right data, I think we can make really good decisions.
I love it. I love the way you said that too. It really is empowering the individual. And I love that. Just love that idea. You know, the people, most of the people that we serve, well, I'll say something a little, maybe a little too bold, but most of the people I serve, you know, are board members and business people and property managers that are either serving as volunteers, you know, as a board member would, or they're underpaid, in my opinion. Like, property managers are generally overworked and underpaid. They work their guts out to serve the communities. And by having a good plan and a good proper, they're providing this huge value and value add and success, and they usually can make their job, whether as a board member, a property manager, a business owner, they can usually make their job so much easier. And so that just really smacks of what you just said, just really setting them up for success. And why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we let the math? It's such a powerful tool. Anyway, I love it. I love what you're doing too, Joe, getting the word out there, because I think that the property management industry will continue to grow and expand. And I personally think that every property needs to stand on its own 2 feet. They need a good property manager. They need good, you know, landscaping, and they need a good financial layout. They need a reserve study to make sure that all of those pieces on that chessboard are properly taken care of, so that, you know, long-term our communities, our cities and states are set up for success, like you said.
Absolutely, Aaron. Well, I appreciate your time today, and I appreciate everything you just said there. And I really think that kind of encapsulated really the message and this ability to help our industry grow and be well protected long term. So thanks for everything you do, and thanks for being here. And thank you to our audience for listening into another episode. And until next time, keep going beyond rent.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Beyond Rent. If you enjoyed this podcast, spread the word on social media and with your peers in the industry. To be notified when more episodes are released, subscribe using your favorite podcast player. Beyond Rent is brought to you by Rent Manager Property Management Software. Learn more about Rent Manager's industry-leading software solutions at rentmanager.com. Until next time, keep going beyond rent.